This is Stephen Strang. Before my podcast, I want to give my listeners a special offer of getting 2 years of Charisma Magazine for only $20. This is better than two for one. I hope you want Charisma in your home, where you can read it, where you can share, where you can keep it around the house and sometimes look at an article later. You know, with everything that's happening with digital, we have found that people still want Charisma in print. And I've been sharing this in my last few podcasts, and it's interesting that the subscriptions are coming in, and I hope that you'll take advantage of this offer by going to charismamag.com/2, T-W-O. That means 2 years for the price of one for only $20. And now here's my podcast.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
There is a disturbing trend in our culture that fewer people are calling themselves Christian. Fewer people are knowledgeable about the Bible, and most denominations are dwindling. Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. Today, we have some good news, though. The Assemblies of God is continuing to grow, and the leader of the Assemblies of God, the General Superintendent, Doug Clay, told me recently about some of the reasons why the Assemblies is growing, and also how they help churches that are in decline to turn around, and a majority of the churches that they work with actually begin to grow again. This is something that your church can learn from, whether or not it's a part of the great denomination called the Assemblies of God. Enjoy my podcast with the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Doug Clay. I'm talking to Doug Clay, the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, who I interviewed shortly after he took over this office. And what I want to ask you about, after thanking you for the opportunity to interview you on my podcast, is why has the Assemblies of God continued to grow when the trend with most Protestant denominations has been decline?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for this opportunity to share. I think it's a couple of things. First of all, I think it has to be the attributed to the work and person of the Holy Spirit. We really do believe that the person of the Holy Spirit, he's not a ghost to be feared. He's not an it to be debated. But we see the part that he plays in personal transformation as well as the life of a church. Now, some of the specific type things, I think our emphasis on multiplication has become very important right now in the assemblies. Churches multiplying, both in planting. The other thing that I think has kept a vibrancy to a 104-year-old denomination is we've established what we call a PAC model. PAC stands for Parent Affiliated Church. And a lot of our district leaders are looking at churches that have plateaued or declined, and we're trying to be very intentional in jumpstarting spiritual vitality. We do that through two ways. Number one, we have a program called Acts 2. It's spearheaded by our assistant superintendent. Acts 2 is designed to take a church through a journey of sort of re-identifying themselves and helping that church discover what their next level potential is. Interestingly, in 3 years that it's been up and running, we have a 64% success rate. In other words, churches that were plateaued or declining, and we identify a plateaued or declining church that over a five-year period of time, there's been no numerical growth or decline. 64% that have gone through Acts 2 have turned it around and have started growing. So I think this sounds very simplistic, but being very intentional with identifying plateaued or declining churches, coupled with this PAC model that says, if you're a healthy, life-giving church, instead of just closing this church down, can we somehow bring the life-giving DNA that you have, bring it over here, merge, consolidate, you can use whatever word you want. We're using PAC. Would you come and PAC this church back to health? So I would say those are a couple of things. Coupled with, Steve, the average age of the attender in an Assembly of God church today, average age of an attender is 35. That's very exciting. Now, I have to tell you, I'm also concerned that the average age of our ordained ministers or lead pastors is in the high 50s. So I want to bring that number down. I don't want to grow this number of the attenders. So we're a young movement. I think other little practical things, women in ministry, I believe is attributed to the vital. We have 25% of our credentialed fraternity is female ministers. I see that adding to life and vitality. And then our ethnic diversity. We are 43% ethnically diverse in the Assembly of God USA.
Well, that's very impressive. You're describing it from your perspective as, you know, the leader, but at the grassroots level, what is it that draws people, do you think, to an Assemblies of God church as opposed to, you know, there are a lot of different churches, including a lot of independent charismatic or Pentecostal churches, and of course, a lot of denominational churches.
Sure. Again, I think it's the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. What I hope that will be characteristic of all Assemblies of God churches in the USA is biblical literacy, spirit empowerment, and mission engagement. So those three things. After that, I don't care if your worship style is Hillsong, Elevation, Gateway, classical, hymnology, but those three things, the scripture. You know, I have a concern that about 10 years ago, it felt like we shifted in our preaching from what do you know to how do you feel. And I think that contributed a little bit to the biblical illiteracy that is emerging. But I'm encouraged today that even in millennials and Gen Z that are coming into positions of lead pastor, expository preaching is sort of back on the rise. And I like that. But I do think we went about a 10 to 15 year period of time where the shift went from what do you know to how do you feel. And that was concerning to me. So the biblical literacy, then the spirit empowerment. You know, we do believe that every Christ follower is a candidate for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I think when that happens, that's an attraction feature. That's not just a denominational obligation. I've watched some of my own friends in this community who've come into the experience of the baptism, go from being a 20-year mainline tithe-paying good evangelical to, wow, I got to do something with my life. How do I want? What's my purpose? So I do believe that the work and person of the Holy Spirit is catalyst for church vitality.
And what do you think is making the shift to where there's more expository preaching?
I think the awareness of a lack of biblical worldview from people who call themselves Christians. I think culture has sort of created that. The political world has created that. You know, it's on a major scale, when the Reveal study came out from Willow Creek, everybody looked at that and said, well, yeah, that's Willow, that's a seeker model. But then as people started doing some inspection within their own home, they realized, whoa, just because we're a Pentecostal church doesn't make us any more biblically literate. That's why I'm really, really driven that in the Assemblies of God, we take on biblical literacy.
Well, that's very important. What are your goals for your tenure? What do you have, a four-year term?
Yeah, so I'm elected for 4 years. It's a four-year term. I would say if you ask me today what would be the top three goals that I would have for administration, number one is to move this needle on biblical literacy. That when people say, what's an Assembly of God church all about? Where they would talk about the centrality of the word in everything they do. And so we're looking at curriculum. We are looking at departmental ministries. We are looking at ministerial training and ongoing training for ministers to be able to just to bring scripture back. Why? Well, everybody has a worldview. You know, your worldview is based on your upbringing, based on your life experiences, but not everybody has a biblical worldview. And I am just convinced that that's a deficiency that I want to see move. I think the second thing I would love to see during my tenure is that we target late elementary, early junior high students regarding the call of God into full-time vocational service. As I mentioned to you, I think there's a little bit of a gap between our average attender and those who are credentialed ministers. And again, I think in our tribe, we shifted from challenging people to the call of God into vocational ministry, pastoring, missions work, to, hey, everybody has a call. And I get that. Everybody does have a call. I believe there's a place for Christian attorneys, Christian journalists, Christian politicians. But I'm also passionate about challenging young people. What if, as part of the Ephesians 2:10, how you've been created in Christ Jesus, does part of that involve ministry in the local church, leadership in the church? So I'm kind of on a campaign to see a lot of young people called into the ministry.
Has the shift toward the Assemblies of God colleges becoming accredited universities affected that? Because originally they would have been Bible institutes to train preachers.
Certainly. You know, I think those are two separate issues. I think the headwind of affordable, quality Christian higher education is certainly a headwind that we feel in the Assemblies of God. But I'm proud of many of our institutions in their ministerial training pursuits and endeavors, but I think we've got to bring people to the table. I think we've got to bring the student that says, I feel that call, into that environment. Now, again, the headwinds in Christian higher education is a whole other subject, and it's real. But I also think the minimal amount of students who say, hey, I feel like God's called me, I want to see that increase.
Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for your thoughts, and God bless you in your new role.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed my podcast. I hope that you will also want to subscribe to my newsletter, which is the Strang Report at strangreport.com. I do most of my podcasts as a newsletter, so this is a way for it to get into your email box and remind you to listen to the podcasts as they come out nearly every day. Also, take advantage of subscribing to the print version of Charisma Magazine. It's the same offer at the beginning of this program. The nice thing with a podcast is you can always back it up and listen to it again. Thank you for listening to my podcast today. I'm happy to say that it's growing. The numbers are continuing going up because I think that we're talking about topics that are connecting with people. And also, listeners like you are sharing the podcast with their friends. Thank you. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.